I'd like you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14, and we'll just break in and read a few pertinent verses in this chapter. Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel have left the bondage of Egypt. They're traveling on towards the promised land, and they find themselves at the Red Sea at Pi-Hahiroth, where the Lord led them at that time. But it was not a very happy time for them because of the circumstances they found themselves in. Exodus 14, we'll read at verse number 10, down to the end of verse number 16. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And may the Lord bless our hearts. A short reading from his own infallible word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the encouragement of the word of the Lord. We thank thee, O God, that not only hast thou saved thy people, but thou dost direct them, even as Israel was directed by the pillar of cloud and fire. And Father, we thank thee that in every circumstance of life there is something to encourage us to follow hard after the Lord. And Father, we pray just now that thou would meet with us, that thou would speak to us from thy word, that thou would challenge us. And Father, as we march into this year, that we'll be with renewed vigor in the service of the Lord our God. And Father, we pray that this will be a year of solid advancement, not only for the church as a congregation, but for everyone as individuals. May we go on with God in 2007. And Father, we pray that thou would bless those of our congregation who can't be here. We think, Lord, of those who are ill, who are watching on the webcast just now. We pray that thou would bless them and touch their mortal bodies, and grant, O God, that very soon they'll restore the fellowship with us in the gospel. And we think, Lord, of those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We commend them to thee. We think, Lord, of our friend Pastor McWilliams, as he mourns the loss of his wife today. We pray that thou be with him and comfort him, and grant, O God, that he might know the nearness and the presence of the Lord. Be with us now, we pray, and speak by thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as you know, we stand on the threshold of another new year, and it has been our custom down through the years to choose a motto text, a text to go with us throughout the year to encourage us and to focus our attention on some aspect of the work of the Lord. And this year I've chosen verse number 15, the latter part of verse 15 of Exodus 14, where the command of the Lord came to the children of Israel through Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. I believe this is an appropriate text because in this past year, 2006, we celebrated the 30th anniversary of our congregation. And because of that, we have been focusing a lot on the things that happened before and how the Lord had led us down through this past 30 years. And you saw that as we put it down in that little book, these 30 years. So we have been focusing on the past. But now as we stand in this year, our 31st year of operation, we must keep moving forward. And that's why we bring this verse here. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now the children of Israel found themselves here, as you know, in a difficult position. They were hemmed in at the Red Sea and they could not go forward because of the sea. They couldn't turn inland because of the mountains of Ethiopia. And if they thought of turning back, that was the least inviting prospect because the Egyptian army was in full pursuit. And it was then when they're hemmed in on all sides that God gave a strange command, and that command was, go forward. But how could they go forward when there are so many difficulties facing them? Go forward. So let us this morning look at this and see if we can learn something to encourage us as we stand the threshold of this new year. Now the first thing I want you to consider is where they came from, where the children of Israel came from. You see, you know that they came from the land of Egypt. Some of the people had gone down there some hundreds of years earlier, led by the Lord and led by Jacob or Israel, and they settled in Egypt and they multiplied. And over that period, life became very, very difficult for them because Pharaoh was a hard taskmaster and he made the children of Israel to be slaves. They had no freedom and they became servants of Pharaoh. Whatever he said, they did. Whatever his will was, it had to be done. And so they lived under a very, very hard taskmaster. But there was a tremendous day of deliverance, and that was the day when, under the Lord's command, the blood was applied to the doorpost and lintels of the children of Israel's homes, and that night the Lord gave them the wonderful Exodus and the victory, and in effect, a new nation was born at that time, free under God. And for them they were passing from the darkness of slavery to the light and the freedom of the sons of God, and they passed literally, as it were, from death to life. And what a great night that must have been for the children of Israel. What a time of rejoicing that the days of their slavery are now over. Now, of course, you know that they give us a wonderful picture of our own salvation, because there was a day when we were servants of the devil, and the devil held us under his thraldom, and he held us captive. And we did like the Egyptian and the children of Israel did to Egypt. We did the will of the devil. He wanted us to do this and we did it. He wanted us to do that and we did it. And we sinned grievously against God and we found ourselves in a difficult situation. But thank God there was a great day came. A great day when the blood was applied to the doorposts and lintels of our lives. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the sacrifice for sin. And we found Christ as our Savior, and we passed from darkness to light, the darkness of sin to the glorious light of the gospel, and from death in transgression to life in the Lord Jesus. And what a great day that was for us. And let us never, ever forget the time when the Lord changed and transformed our lives. But that day of the Exodus was also a day of separation. And it wasn't an easy day, it was a difficult day, because there was a hard slog ahead for the children of Israel. They had to leave Egypt and they had to follow the Lord, and there are many, many hardships that lay ahead for them. As they cross the desert, as they come now to Pi-Hahiroth, and they find themselves hemmed in with Pharaoh's armies pursuing them and ready to kill them if they can catch up on them. And so it was a time of great difficulty. And my friend, when you come to the Lord Jesus and you're saved by the grace of God, you are separated from the old Egypt. You're separated and you march with the Lord. But if you think that that's going to be an easy march, think again, because the Lord causes his people to go through hardships so that we might be strengthened. Because you don't learn very much when things are going well, but you surely learn when things are not going the way you expect them to go. For the children of Israel, they were very tough physically, because it tells it over there in one of the Psalms, Psalm 105. It says, speaking there of the Exodus, that God brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. So that tells us they had an immense march ahead of them. And yet as they marched out of Egypt, there wasn't one feeble person. Nobody lagging behind. Not a feeble person. Why? Because they already had suffered greatly under Pharaoh, and there they get toughened by the grace of God and by the Lord for the great movement of separation from Egypt. But now the children of Israel need not just physical toughness, which they had, but now they need to have mental and especially spiritual training to toughen them for the years that are lying ahead of them as they form a nation. And so they had to travel across the trackless desert. Not a small number. Probably about 1.5 million of them. It speaks of 600,000 men in the scriptures there, traveling besides the wives and the children. So probably about 1.5 million. Now, we went for a little holiday there just before Christmas, and there's 21 of our family there. And it was not an easy task to keep a check of 21 people as you travel from here to there. And I was personally counting all the time, do we have 21 or is there somebody missing? And so, to keep 21 people together, what must have been like to keep 1.5 million people in the trackless desert as they went across the desert towards the land of promise that God had for them. And of course, this past year we have been looking back and reflecting on the Lord's leading during our 30-year history. But the Lord led us as He led Israel. He led them by a unique way, by a pillar of cloud and of fire. And He led them step by step. And we can look back and say, the Lord has led us step by step, and that we can rejoice in that. Now, they were called to remember, because God continually caused the children of Israel in later years to remember the great deliverance of the Exodus. You look at the book of Leviticus and you'll find that on many occasions God reminds them that He was the God that led them out of the bondage of Egypt. And you and I as believers, we must never forget the fact that the Lord has delivered these poor souls of ours. And in fact, He gave us a greater exodus than Israel got, because He lifted us out of the pit of sin and He brought us into new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice, and let us ever remember that we have been saved by the grace of God. So where did they come from? Egypt and bondage. Where did we come from? We came from the thraldom of the greater Pharaoh, the devil, and we suffered. But the Lord has brought us out to follow after Him and to follow the pathway. The second thing I want to leave with you is, where are the children of Israel now in this story? And we find them beside the Red Sea. And there is a tremendous reality that is sinking into them. Because at first they would set out from Egypt rejoicing and happy with all their flocks and with all their family and with all the silver and gold that the Bible speaks about that they brought out with them. And so it was a happy exodus at the beginning. But as the time went on, the march got more difficult, and now they stop at Parahyros, where the Lord brought them, and they discover that they're backed into a corner. And there's no way out for them. Now, what are the options? The options are, can they go ahead? But ahead of them, there's a sea, and there's no evidence of ferry boats to take them across. And how could you ever get 1.5 million people across in boats anyhow? So there was no option to go ahead. And if they turned their eyes towards the south and the west, hoping to go inland, Well, there's two problems. Number one, that is leading them away from the land of promise, because no doubt they talked among themselves and they realized that eventually they're going to Canaan. But to go down into Africa and go down southwest, that's the long way. So that's the first problem. But then they look at the mountains down there and they say, well, we can't move these people down there. So that option didn't look too good either. Another one was, well, maybe we'll just stay here. But that would be in contradiction to the command of God to go to the promised land. And so they couldn't stay there. And besides, they couldn't sustain themselves there in that desert position. And that was not a very good option, because behind them was the greatest problem of all. And they could look back and over the desert, and they could see away in the distance, maybe several miles away, they could see the dust, which would remind them that Pharaoh has not forgotten them, but Pharaoh has mounted an attack, and the warriors of Egypt are coming hard after them with their swords sharpened for the kill. And so now Israel is in a very, very difficult position, and we're told here that they were filled with fear and alarm. It says they were sore afraid. And in such a situation, there'd be a tendency for the people to begin to panic and to begin to run every way. What are we going to do? And so they find themselves here, backed into the corner, not knowing which way to go. But it was then that Moses gave them a word, a strange word. He said in verse number 13, "Fear ye not." Don't be afraid. Now, that's easier to say. But when you consider what was happening, and that they are now hemmed in completely with no way out, and he's saying, "Fear not," easy to say, but it was a command of the Lord. And then he told them to stand still, and he's telling them, "Don't panic, don't be running here and there. Stand still a minute till we talk to you. Stand still and listen to what God the Lord has to say. Listen to the instructions." And don't look so much at Pharaoh who's coming behind you, but look to God for the salvation that he has promised to us. And so he gives them a message there and tells them to look to the salvation of the Lord. And no doubt reminded them, do you not remember? Do you not remember the plagues? Do you not remember the night of the Exodus? Do you not remember how the Lord has given us the pillar of cloud and fire? Do you not remember that the Lord has delivered us before? And so therefore, don't worry, fear not, because the mighty God, the infinite God, he will deliver us again. Now that brings us to consider where we are today as we enter into this new year. Unlike Israel, we are facing immense challenges in this year and in succeeding years, if the Lord does allow them to continue. Within the realm of Christendom, there are serious challenges to a church that's trying to keep the old path, as Ryle used to speak about, and the Bible also says as well. But we discovered that ecumenism, which started off with the idea of getting all the so-called Christian churches together, ecumenism has morphed into syncretism. And syncretism is that it doesn't really matter what God you believe in, as long as you believe in some sort of supreme being, let's all get together and work together. Now, we can't accept that, because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches us that we are to be separate from sinners and take our stand for God. So we face that problem in our day. And then, not only that, but in the wider sphere of this community and beyond, we face the fact that morality is changing drastically into immorality. And you know that things that a few years ago you thought not possible are happening today. Our courts are making decisions that are ridiculous. You look at that case there where the judge came along and supported the people who had three parents in the family, two mothers and a father for one little boy. And you look at these things that are happening round about us, and not just immorality like that, but the murders, that poor woman that was shot just a week ago. Obviously a Christian by the reports in the newspaper. and they buried her yesterday. And that's three tragedies in this area in a short time. The one down on Morningside Bridge, the little boys who were drowned down here at the railway bridge down there. And these things are happening round about us, and these are problems. And then within the evangelical so-called church, it is a situation where evangelism is now replaced and being replaced by marketing. You market your church. You take your lead from the world of business and you market Christianity. But my friend, Christianity cannot be marketed, because the salvation of a soul is not something that you can do by hiring an advertising firm. It is something that is done by the power of the Holy Ghost in conviction upon the sinful soul. But we face this problem today, that marketing is going wild. And you look at some of the church that once took a stand for God, an evangelical stand for God, and you find that on their church notice boards and so on, they're into hip-hop and every kind of worldly music and rock music and so on. My friend, the world is changing, and we face these difficulties. And then also that the servant of God is called to earnestly proclaim the word of God. But we discover that earnestness is declining now into entertainment. Because we live in a world so greatly controlled by television, that now people are expecting to find in their church the same sort of entertainment that they get on television. But my friend, that is not right. The church of God is not an entertainment center. It's a place to preach the gospel. And it's a place where you have to preach all the counsel of God. You have to preach on sin. Even though Jay Osteen says that he doesn't want to present anything negative. Doesn't want to preach on sin or call people sinners. I don't know how much of the Bible he uses, because you'll find so much of it deals with sin and iniquity. You can't have a person healed of a disease if you don't tell them what the disease is. And this world is suffering from a disease of sin. Our task is to faithfully tell people that, and then show them that the only answer to sin is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who made himself a sacrifice for sin. And so there are great challenges within the so-called bounds of Christendom. But then you think of where we are right now. We are surrounded here by non-Christian religions. And they have no interest whatever in advancing the cause of the Lord Jesus. And we believe firmly that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I just took the map out yesterday and looked around this area here. And we are, as it were, the hub. You have a Sikh temple over there. You've got a Muslim mosque down there. You've got a Hindu temple down there. And then you've got a major Russellite organization down there on Morningside. These are all around us. We are here, and now the Muslims are building that school just to the north of us. And it's almost, I think it's started to be occupied already. So we are surrounded by non-Christian religions. And then the problem is, that not just that, but the professing Christian church has largely lost its vision. It's lost an idea of the mission to which God has called it, and it's lost its strength. And so it's no use sitting down patting ourselves on the back and say that, well, we're doing okay, because we have a fairly good work here, and we thank the Lord for every advancement that we've made. But I want to say that this church here, despite all the great strides it's made, and I've been with it since day one, this church here has not yet reached its full potential. And so therefore, that's why this word that God brings to us to go forward is so very, very important. But there is a grain of comfort here, and what a grain of comfort it is, and what a life-giving seed it is, that if we can grasp it, and that is the children of Israel, at Parahiros, the sea and the mountains, and the following army of Pharaoh, they're sitting there. How'd they get there? God brought them there. God led them into that situation because He was going to manifest His power and manifest His great miracle-working power. How do we get where we are today? We are here because the Lord led us here. We didn't choose this particular site to begin our work. It was the Lord who led us here. And we have come on a pilgrimage from place to place. The Lord has led us, and we need to cry to God in this week of prayer especially, that the Lord would help us to maintain a strong, virile Christian testimony in a land where Christianity is now just regarded as another religion. Take it or leave it. God says ye must be born again. So let us rejoice that it is the Lord who has brought us here. And not only that, but in the case of Israel, sometimes God holds the feet of His people to the fire. They get their reaction, their proper reaction. Israel had their feet held to the fire there at Pi-hahiroth. Didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go. But you'll notice they did cry to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord holds the feet of His own people in our day to the fire, that we may begin to get really serious about the matter and begin to call upon God and go through with the Lord our God. That's why our week of prayer is essential, that we lay hold upon the Lord. So, where did they come from? They came from slavery. Where do we come from? The slavery of the devil. Where are they now? At the edge of the Red Sea and hemmed in. Where are we? Surrounded by tremendous challenges as we face the future going into the next year and the next years. And the final point is, what did Israel need to hear? They need to hear the command of the Lord. Moses told them, stand still. They get them ready to listen. But now God says in verse 15, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, the verse number 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? I want to look at that when I'm speaking the week of prayer on Friday night. The question, why? Moses, why are you calling unto me? Because you see, there's a time for prayer, which we'll have this week. But there's also a time for action. And that's what God is saying now to them. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But I can hear them saying, Moses, this is impossible. Are you going to march us down over the sand and the shingle at the edge of the Red Sea? Are you going to march us in? Are we going to lose our lives, going to lose our children, our camels and our sheep and our flocks and our children? Are we going to be drowned in the Red Sea? Life's a pilgrimage, and we must always be going forward and moving forward. As far as I understand, you'll not find a place in either the Old Testament or the New Testament where God's people have followed God's guidance and He's ever had them to make a retreat. Remember that. Not in the Old Testament, to my knowledge, or in the New Testament, do you find a place where a people who are following the command of the Lord ever had to turn back. Because if God leads His people into a difficult situation, as He did here, He will also lead them out of that situation, and He'll lead them out again into victory. And so they're brought to a place where they're learning to trust the Lord. Now, our emphasis since day one in this church has been to go forward. We start out in Cosburn Avenue after a tremendous attack by the press upon us. And even McMurtry, who's still involved, he was involved in that three-parent situation. That in Cosburn Avenue, only a few people here remember those days. But the command was to go forward. Even though the devil wanted us to go backwards, God gave us a promise, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So we went forward. moved up to Pharmacy Avenue to the Wexford Public School and were there for a time. The Lord blessed us. But again, the Lord said, go forward. And I remember, just checked out there, just before we moved into Wharton Avenue, I preached in this very text here, go forward. And so we went forward by the grace of the Lord our God. And then we knew that after having started the school that we're going to have to do something regarding the growth. And we were led of the Lord to buy them a comb building next door. And again, God was saying, go forward. But, oh Lord, it's so expensive, so difficult. Can we do it? God says, go forward. And then they came to build a church here. God said, go forward, do it. And again, when we came to the matter of the senior school, it would have been very nice just to have a primary school or an academy where the diversity of subject matter is not very difficult. But to get into high school, Lord, can we do that? And we prayed much about it. We sought the Lord, and the Lord's word was, go forward. So we started the high school in the basement of the church. And then the Lord brought before us the need we're going to have to get a proper school. And so, again, the Lord said, go forward, and we built the school. Now, at this stage, this is not a time to stop or to slack. We have to go forward again by the grace of God as He leads us into this new year. And we of all people have no reason to doubt the Lord. You look at the history of our church and how the Lord has wonderfully and miraculously provided for us, both in terms of the money to do the job and the workers to do the job. There's no church around here that has more cause to thank the Lord or ever to doubt the Lord. The Lord has brought us thus far, and He will complete and perfect the work that He has called us to do. But I wonder, is there somebody here this morning? And perhaps you have come to a roadblock in your life and you need to go forward and you're not ready to go forward. And God is saying, go forward. Is there somebody here and you have been saved by the grace of God and you know it is to be born again, but you've never obeyed the command of the Lord to be baptized? Have you done that? And you say, oh, but I want to pray about it. You don't need to pray about it. That's what Moses said here. Wherefore criest thou unto me? The Lord's command is clear. Believers need to be baptized. Is that something that's holding you back? Again, you take the matter of church membership. I believe it's right and proper for people to belong to a local assembly and to give their power to that assembly. Has God been speaking to you about joining our church and becoming a member? Is God speaking to you? Is that a blockage? Are you standing there at Pi-Hahiroth and you're saying, I'm going to pray about it, but behind you is coming a Pharaoh? The Lord wants you not just to think about it, but the Lord wants you to obey and go forward. Is there somebody here this morning and there is a work that the Lord has been speaking to you about? A work perhaps to do that you can do for the Lord. And yet you've held back and you say, well, I'm going to pray about it. I'll pray about it. Well, that's good to pray about it. But God says here, wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. And now is the time to, at the beginning of this year, to get rid of the doubts and to get in to the work of the Lord. Don't need to pray about something that God has clearly commanded. What you do is you follow the command of the Lord and you pray for His help as you do that. So He has said, go forward. And for the children of Israel, it was a matter of going forth in faith. The Lord says, go forward. You look at the sea. They've got a problem here. And they didn't have the experience of later when the Lord had opened the river Jordan. Didn't have that to follow on. They have here a problem and they're marching down. Lord, what is going to happen? But they had to trust the Lord and go forward. And God did the miracle. He opened the sea and they passed through on dry land. So we have to, at the beginning of the year, fear the Lord and believe the Lord and trust in the Lord as He would guide us. Also, they had to go forward in knowledge, because they're going to learn something. What they'll learn here, we're in a mess, we're stuck, we're surrounded, we're hemmed in. But they're going to learn something of the power of Almighty God. And God is going to show them something never seen before. And so their knowledge of the Lord, that up to that moment was limited, is going to take a great leap as they see what God is able to do. Just reading this past week about an old minister who had been seriously ill and had recovered. And he said, "I almost wish that I was still ill." Say, why would that be? And his answer was, "Because in the time of my desperation, in the time of my illness, the Lord was so near to me and so sweet to me." And I'd have to say amen to that, because I went through, as you know, serious surgery there just a few years ago. And I can look back, and some of the happiest days of my life were in the days following that surgery, because the Lord was so near. And I had time. I didn't have to do anything except just sit there and wait upon the Lord, and His presence was so near. You see, we learn a lot when we're going through the difficult times, and we learn from the Lord. And again, we're going to learn more about the fellowship of God, because they'd come from bondage. Now they're going through the wilderness, and now they're going to have the knowledge of the Lord. And when they crossed the other side, their hearts were filled with joy, and they sang rapturously unto God. So the Lord leads us forward, and as we overcome the difficulties by His power, then we are blessed. My friend, today we serve a great God. We serve an infinite God, an eternal and unchangeable God. And we serve a God who can work miracles. And we can look back and thank the Lord for His miracle working power in the history of this congregation. But now again, as we face a sort of different set of difficulties, God is saying, go forward. Keep going forward, because life's a pilgrimage. We're not to turn back, because you see, the children of Israel, they're at the Red Sea, and Moses told them, go forward, and they started to move forward. You can imagine some there, Moses, I'm not doing that. I am not going forward. I'm going to stay here where I'm safe. I'm not going in there. I don't like the water, and I'm not going to get in there and be drowned and have my children drowned. If they didn't go forward, if they didn't drown, they'd feel the point of Pharaoh's swords. And my friend, when God says to us, go forward, and we lag back and do not go forward, then we're going to fall into the clutches of the advancing enemy. Let's keep ahead of him. Let's go forward by the power of God and see even greater things done in the years to come. The Red Sea was an impossibility to Israel, but God worked the miracle and He made a way. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the encouragement of the word of the Lord, and we pray that Thou wilt bless each of Thy children, and grant, O God, that Thou wilt help us to take up this promise and this command of Thine, and in every detail of life to go forward in the service of Christ the King. And we thank Thee, our Father, that Thou wilt make a way through for us. And Lord, we pray that this would be a year of quickening and revival. Lord, we need to see Thee moving. And Father, we pray that Thou would, in this week of prayer, that Thou would get us all, Lord, on fire for Thee, that we'll hear the command of God to go forward. And Father, we pray that we'll see even greater things done in the year to come. And so, Father, be with us, we pray. And Father, for any who are here this morning who know not the Lord Jesus, and Lord, the jaws of hell are following hard after them, and they don't know which way to turn or to go, oh God, we pray that Thou would turn their eyes upon the Lord Jesus, because He can work the miracle of salvation and bring them out of the clutches of the wicked one and out of the jaws of hell, and can save them by His sovereign grace. Oh God, may this first Sunday of the Lord's day, the Lord this year, may it be a time, Lord, when some soul would find the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Hear this, our prayer, and bless it now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.